God wants His church to come back to that point of reference, that place where our hearts burned with holy passion. We were just totally alive in Him. Amen. He wants us to get back into that first love. Amen. Back into that place. And we can simply by turning our hearts towards Him. Come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. And come before God with a pure heart, with a pure offering. Amen. Of gratitude to Him. Amen. That means that we will heed His voice. We will listen to His voice. I mean, I know that God desires obedience, right? Over sacrifice. It's more important than sacrifice. See, some people are good at sacrifice and doing and giving. But what God is really, really wanting from us is obedience.
Amen.
To hear His voice today. Amen. That is so precious to Him. We are, again, in the dressing room of eternity. We're being prepared for glory, for eternity. We are His bride. We are being prepared for Him, for the Lord, who is our bridegroom, Jesus. And we are to be holy as He is holy. And holiness is not something I can do independently of Him. Amen. It's not something I even achieve. It's something I receive. And He is my holiness. It's very clear that holiness comes from the Lord. Amen. It's not of us. When we abide in Him, we abide in holiness.
Amen.
We are to put Him on as clothing.
Yes.
We're to be dressed or clothed, immersed, baptized, right?
Yes.
Into Christ. So we walk in His presence. And as we do so, we have life and we have peace. How many like peace? How many know what it feels like when you blow it? And you lose peace. You want to get back, right? You want to get that peace back. You just turn your heart back to Him. Because He's there to say, okay, if you mean business, I forgive you. If you're being honest with me. How many know He knows if we're being honest or not? We've all given God lip service before, I have too. But He knows if we're honest. If we have a sincere heart, He will work in you and I. And He will make us beautiful. Amen. We may be not getting better looking as we get older. I look in the mirror every morning. I'm reminded of the same thing. So, but we're going to be beautiful. Amen. Inside.
Amen.
When this old tent falls off, we get that new glorified body, but we're going to be seen as we really are.
Yes.
And, you know, we can put all the paint on and fool people. You know, we can put on the facade you know, and act spiritual and holy and all that in front of people and fool people, but you can't fool God. And so we want to make sure that the heart is pure, the heart is right, and in right standing with Him. That's more important, amen, than the outward external appearance.
Yeah.
However, let me encourage you to take care of that too.
No. Yeah. Amen.
But He is the most important thing, amen, in our lives. He is the one. And every knee is going to bow to Him. Every knee is going to bow to Him. So we bow now. We confess Jesus. He is Lord. He's my Lord. And we're not ashamed of His name. We're not ashamed of the gospel. As we declare His praises, hallelujah, God releases His presence, His glory. Heaven is released. And atmospheres change. How many know it begins in the heart? The atmosphere of your heart has to change. It doesn't matter what's going on around us.
Amen.
Amen. What happens? We got to have good weather on the inside. Amen. It can be raining on the outside, but you can have the sun, S-O-N, shining on the inside. Today, I want to talk to you about preventing the crash. Preventing the crash. We are given many admonitions and warnings in the Scripture about abiding, continuing to walk close with the Lord. Backsliding is something that is very subtle. It happens over a period of time. It doesn't happen immediately. You don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to backslide. There's something that has been happening. There's been a process of falling away or removing ourselves from the Lord. And the priest's responsibility in the Old Testament was to maintain the supply of oil, amen, to the lampstand. That was the priest's responsibility. In Messiah, in Christ, you and I are a priesthood, and it's our responsibility to maintain a supply of oil at all times. If you don't have oil in your lamp will do what? We are surrounded with distractions, surrounded with temptations, surrounded with all kinds of alternatives of things that may not even be wicked or bad, but they can be distracting and they can pull our hearts away from Him. And so we've got to maintain focus. Our biggest problem is not that we don't see or have a picture of where we're going. It's that we have lost hope in the promise of God. And often it's because we are looking at our momentary light afflictions. We're looking at what's happening in my world right now and the problems that I'm facing. And if we're not careful, we begin to focus on the problems and we get our eyes off Jesus. And when you focus on the problem gets bigger. When you focus on Jesus, He gets bigger in your eyes. Amen? He is an awesome God. But we must esteem Him. We must understand His greatness. And in comparison to anything that we face, God is so, so, so much bigger. Come on. So we need to understand that it's not of us even to maintain ourselves in the fact that we don't have the strength. We don't have enough willpower. We don't have enough wisdom to make it to the end. Sometimes we begin right. We begin prayerfully in worship and seeking God and in His Word and walking daily in obedience. And somewhere along the line, we begin to drift and those things begin to fall off. And the light begins to get dimmer and dimmer, and all of a sudden other things begin to enter in. More things begin to enter in, and they begin to choke us. And the life of Christ begins to be choked out of us. We begin to lose that connection. And it's one day we do wake up like Samson did, you know, and didn't realize that he'd lost the anointing. Samson had, see, he was walking with the Lord. God was using him mightily to defeat their enemies, the Philistines, as you remember. But at the same time, he was a double-minded man and he was living another life too. And the deception there is that, well, God is still using me, you see. I'm still feeling God's presence here and there, and yet I am living this other life that people don't know about. But yet, the day did come, didn't it, when he realized that he had stepped over that line and he had lost the anointing. And the first thing the devil did is he plucked his eyes out. He will blind you. To the degree where some people who once walked passionately with God are completely lost in sin now. It's possible to become an apostate according to the Word of God. To fall away and end up in destruction. So we want to prevent the crash. In Psalms 106, verse 7, we've been talking about Egypt and Israel and how God had delivered them out by the blood of the Lamb and how God wanted them completely out of the land. He wanted every tether, every tie to Egypt to be severed so that they were completely free to worship the Lord and to walk with Him in this new life. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His namesake, that He might make His mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. What's going on here? Sounds like they're having a revival. A time of renewal, right? Of awakening. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That word leanness means thinness. It means to be emaciated spiritually. So today I want to talk to you about some of the things that will lead to leanness or thinness of soul. How many know that we can be prosperous, excuse the term, fat and happy, amen, in this world, and yet be starving to death spiritually, to be impoverished spiritually? And the enemy would like nothing more than to get you and I to take our eyes off what's really the most important part of us, that's our spirit, and get it on the things of this world. Amen? Into temporary living and living for the American dream. Number one, the lust for temporary pleasures. Leanness of soul occurs when we pursue the world and its passions, its cravings. When we're pursuing the world, as refers to as the good life, you know. Well, we want the good life. And I didn't have a good life when I was young, so I want my children to have the life that I never had. Are you hearing me? Has anybody ever said that, thought that? How many know that God is not opposed to taking care of all of your needs and even giving you some things that you don't really need, but they're nice? But what happens is the enemy gets us to worship wealth and to focus on those things, chase after those things, because we want, for example, our children to have the best. And yet, in too many cases, our children have everything they need, and then some. They become spoiled brats. Are you with me? But we can lose their soul, which is of superior value, of course. So the first thing that leads to leanness is this lust for temporary pleasures. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, I'm going to read it to you. It says, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So when Israel came out of Egypt, did you know that there were Egyptians that were mixed in among them? That kind of reminds me of the fact that we're living in a war, aren't we? In a battle. And there are enemies that are sown among us, folks. If I look at you, I'm not thinking you're an enemy, okay? But how many know that the Egyptians represented demonic hordes, right? Or of wicked forces of opposition. And so they had mingled in with the people. They came out in a mixed company, a mixed multitude. It says that those who were among them yielded to intense craving. So listen, the children of Israel also, see that? Wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? In other words, their associations were negatively influencing them. How many know that who you associate with can negatively influence you into compromise and into complaining? If you hang out with bitter or complaining people, before long you're going to be bitter and complaining if you're not careful. Wrong associations, just like Israel, can also cause us to lose sight of where we're going. They can distract you from the goal that God has for you, the vision that God has for your life. Wrong associations can distract you and cause you and I to lose sight of where we're going. Israel very shortly began to do what? They began to look back. I ask the question, then I answer it. That's how I do it here. But Israel began to look back. See, when I ask the question, then it makes you start to think, and then I answer it for you. But anyways, yeah. In verse 5 it says, they began to look back and they said, we remember, they forgot the miracles of God, they forgot the wonders, they forgot the salvation, the great deliverance, they forgot that they were slaves and in bondage and how miserable they really were. Are you hearing me? And then they started to look back and remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now some of you are saying, man, how could you miss that? But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. How many know that Israel failed to trust God in their time of testing? The manna was God's supernatural provision. They didn't have to work for it. It was God's provision. God was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach them to hear His voice, to know His voice, to know of His faithfulness and His trustworthiness, and that He was going to do exactly what He had promised to them. But they had to go through a process to prepare them for what was coming, for the glory that would be. For those who had handled it correctly, they could enter into this land that was flowing with milk and honey. How many know that we're in the process right now of being prepared for eternity? But not everybody's going to be there, folks, because some people are going to fall in the wilderness. Some people are going to get mad at God. They're going to get bitter at God. They're going to curse God. It's happening. People are falling away. Even people that once walked with Jesus have fallen away. Some have forsaken the Lord and the faith. And the Bible says in the latter days, some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You see, there are many doctrines of demons that are coming from the pulpits across America and the world. It's a crossless Christianity. It's one of self-gratification, instant gratification. Your best life now. Have it all now. Hey, don't worry about a cross. We're not going to preach the cross. People don't want to hear about an old bloody cross. They don't want to hear about denying themselves and taking up their cross and following Jesus. They want to hear about how good I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how prosperous I can get. Tell me how I can have it all now. Are you hearing me? That is a doctrine of demons. Here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. We are not living for this world, we're living for that world. Amen? And while we're walking in this world, God will provide for us times of refreshing. God will give us manna. Amen? He will give us refreshing from the rock, who is Christ. But He's preparing a people, a bride, that's going to be beautiful. She's going to be purified through the difficulties of this temporary existence. We don't hear a lot about this anymore, you see. And if you're not careful, and if you don't spend time in the Word and in prayer, and you're just listening to everything that's coming on Christian television, folks, you're going to get deceived. We don't want the cross. You know, there's no cross, there's no crown. We look at the example of our Lord, amen, who went before us and lived that example before us. And we ask ourselves, and I ask myself, am I looking like Jesus? Am I living like Jesus? Am I walking like Jesus? Am I following in His footsteps? Have I really come to the place where I'm done with me and I'm ready for God? I'm ready for His will, for His purpose to be accomplished in my life. And I have discovered that when I surrender and when I yield to the will of God, there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is a joy that is so far superior to the momentary things and the temporary things this world can give you that always leave you empty and leave you dry. God will never leave you dry. He says, my will, amen, is what will feed you, what will sustain you. It's your bread. I am your bread. I am your life. As you abide in me and as you walk out this will with me, you will find a refreshing along the way. You'll find strength. You'll find encouragement. You'll find that I'm always there, amen, with you. And you can enjoy the journey. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the journey with Jesus. I like what I'm doing. I like serving God. It is a joy to serve God. I've served the world. I've served Egypt. I've served the devil. No more. I'm done. I've repented. I've turned around. I've changed my mind. The manna represented Christ, didn't it? He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate, amen, the manna, and they're dead. But when Jesus showed up, he says, I am what that was speaking about. That was a type. I'm the fulfillment. I am the one that will feed you and satisfy you. So we need to eat of him, to drink of him, to fill ourselves with him. God's grace is freely given to us in Christ. And so that's why we must hear me today. To prevent leanness of soul, we must give God thanks in all things. For this is the will of God. In all things give thanks. Be thankful. Have a heart of gratitude. If all you got is manna, thank God for the manna. Amen. Be thankful for what you have. Because it will shift your heart into the right position where God will be pleased. And He'll release, amen, praise will come out of you instead. Hallelujah. You see, when Abraham was confronted with a situation that looked impossible, he had been given the promise of the son. And remember, it took 25 years. But the Bible says that against all hope, he rejoiced in hope. Doing what? Giving glory to God. How many know if you give glory to God, it will shift your atmosphere. It'll change your mind. See, God gave Israel what they lusted for, what they wanted. They wanted the temporary. They wanted it all now. And He did give it to them, but He sent leanness into their souls. Folks, can I suggest to you that in America especially, this is huge. There are so many of us in the church that are lukewarm, that are impoverished in our souls because we have pursued everything that the world has to offer and compromised our relationship with the Lord. And as a result, the church in America has lost its savor. It's lost its salt. It's lost its influence. And God wants us to get back. And how do we do that? We come back, amen, to that first place, that first love, that first passion. And we commit ourselves to seek His face. And as we set our hearts to return to our Father, He comes running for us. Hallelujah. And He restores His church, His bride, His people. America's hope is in you and I doing the right thing. How many know that you're not going to be able to vote in the answer? It's beyond that, folks. It's a spiritual problem. And it's you and I, the people of God. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So Israel had begun to covet these temporary things of the world. And God gave them the request and sent leanness in their soul. And Jesus said in Mark 4:18, He says, listen to this. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. They hear the word. And the cares or worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, they do not mature because of other things. So what are the three main things stunting the growth of these individuals among the thorns? Worries, riches, and pleasures. Those three things. Watch out for worrying. Amen. For wealth and for temporary pleasure. What does worry do? It causes leanness of soul. Why? Because worrying is really unbelief. Worrying is you and I not believing that God is big enough to take care of us. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. Without trust, without hope in Him. Believing in Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do we believe God? Worry is a sign, folks, that we are not trusting Him. I'd like to stand up here today and tell you that I never worry. But that would be a lie. I struggle with this at times. Do you? But when we catch ourselves and the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? Why are you worrying? Do you not believe that I can take care of you? Yes, Lord. Worrying is a sin. Because it's unbelief. Sin is unbelief. Unbelief is sin. So Philippians 4:6, most of us know this, says what? Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer. Oh, we have an advocate at heaven's court. Amen. We can come to the Lord. Hallelujah. We have an intercessor. We have a great high priest in the heavens, Jesus. We can call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord will turn and say, Father, they need some help. They need some grace. They need some strength. They need some wisdom. They need deliverance. They need healing. We can call upon the Lord, our great high priest, who ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always there for us. Amen? Now we have an accuser. We have a prosecuting attorney that says, you remember what you did? But Jesus says, Father, I took care of it for them. I paid the price for them. They're mine. If they confess to me, we're done. We're good. Hallelujah. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalms 55 and verse 22. In other words, if you trust the Lord, you and I will never be removed from our place of favor with Him. If we're trusting Him, we will abide in a place of favor. Because He's saying, here's someone who knows who I am, how great I am, how faithful I am, how trustworthy I am, how loving I am, how good I am to them. They believe me and they are trusting in me. And that pleases the Father. How many like your kids? Amen. Or even your friends to trust you, right? If you tell them something, I don't believe you. If you're telling them the truth, you're like, no, but I'm telling you the truth. I don't believe you. It pleases us when people trust us. Is that right? Yes. And hopefully we are people that can be trusted. But how many know that God doesn't fail? He's always trustworthy. He never fails. He's always faithful to us. He's always there for us if we will turn to Him. Sometimes He gets disappointed in us, of course, because sometimes we're stubborn and we have to go the hard way. Amen? But Papa God loves us enough to take us behind the shed. Amen? If He needs to, a little tune-up, a little attitude adjustment, right? It works every time. Thirdly, a preoccupation with wealth often leads to leanness of soul. God did give Israel what they wanted. Sometimes, folks, we can beg God for something and He'll give it to us. Because, you know, we have a choice to make every day. Am I going to live for eternity or for temporary? Now, we have to make a temporary living and an existence, okay? I'm not saying don't prepare yourself. The Proverbs tells us, remember the ant, right? The ant made preparation for the winter, okay? He's not saying be stupid about it. He's saying, I'll give you wisdom if you need to, all right, to get into a place where you can take care of yourself and your family. God expects, especially as men, right, for us to provide for our families. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So we're not talking about irresponsibility, but we are talking about a thing where people get caught up in the pursuit of wealth, and wealth becomes their God, and they spend themselves and their time and their all their energy on just getting wealth because they want to have it all so they can compete with the Joneses. Are you with me? Or maybe have all the trinkets and the toys for their kids. I remember having a neighbor who had some kids that had it all, and they had all these rich, expensive toys out in the yard, rusting, and they'd come out there with baseball bats and literally destroy toys, and they had a great appreciation for what they had. And then the kids were like little hellions anyways, you know, they were such brats, they had no respect for anybody. But God's not that way. God is good. Amen. And God knows what we have need of, and He knows what we can handle too. And sometimes we're asking God for things that we're really not responsible for or wouldn't be responsible for. So pursuing wealth, folks, it can lead to trouble. We have to be careful. We need to, in all things, make sure that God is what? First. Matthew 6:33, that we seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And then God will give you perspective to take care of the temporary earthly things to the degree that you're not allowing all these distractions or other things coming into your life to distract you, to bog you down, and to choke out the life of God. Why? Because you can't be full of the world and full of the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. You cannot be full of the world and full of the Holy Spirit at the same time. You can't serve two masters. So they had leanness of soul. It was a result of losing sight of the things of God and filling themselves with other things. You know, the more complex our lives get by adding other things, the less room there is for the things of the Lord. And I want to say this because I've said this many times before, but I want to remind you that the devil often tempts us with good things. Now, the obvious thing is like, oh, no, I can't go to bed with her, or I can't, you know, I can't do that dope, or, I can't steal, or I can't shoot somebody, or, you know, those are obvious things. But how about the good things, but from the wrong source? Sometimes people think just because it's a good thing, it must be from God. How many think it's a good idea to ask God about everything? Yeah. Even if somebody wants to give you a gift, make sure there's nothing attached to it, right? Oh, you see it right in ministry. Sometimes people will come with a big offering or something, a big gift, with a string. I'll do all this for you if you start doing things the way I want around here. The thing is not true of us here. I have not witnessed that here, but I've seen it in the past, and others have too. But the thing is this, is that we've got to be careful about allowing good things in our lives that are not God things, so that we are unhindered. They're called weights. Hebrews 12 talks about it, right? Let us cast off every weight, so that we're freed up to run this race, so that we can endure, so that we can chase after the Lord and His purpose for our lives, which is a superior purpose, amen, and never love your life more than the purpose for which it was given to you. Be willing to suffer for Him. Be willing to take up your cross and follow Him daily. Amen. Be willing to take the name of Jesus on your lips, to know that if somebody mocks you, and that's most of the time, that's all you're going to get in America, is somebody may mock you or laugh at you. Make my day. Because every time somebody mocks you for Jesus, Jesus says, Father, check this out. Okay, more love, more joy, more blessings. How was it the disciples being flogged can leave out of that place rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for Jesus, because the joy of the Lord was their strength, because they were walking in the Spirit and they were walking in a place, amen, that was above all the noise and the confusion of this temporary life. They were living for eternity. They were living for the kingdom. And God took care of the temporary needs. But if we seek Him first, things will come into right perspective. And then Israel quickly lost sight again of where they were going. And they began to stray in their hearts, looking back to Egypt. While I was putting this together, the thought dropped into about Esau. And Jacob and Esau, if you remember the story in Genesis, Hebrews 12:15 says, we need to look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, which means immoral person, or profane, can also mean godless person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau had no real appreciation for the things of God, for his birthright. He failed to look forward. Amen. He was living for the here and now, for temporary satisfaction or gratification. And he willingly bartered his birthright for momentary gratification in the flesh. And of course, the birthright meant that the firstborn son would receive a double portion of the inheritance, and also that he would carry the family name. And he esteemed that as he compromised that for what? A bowl of lentil stew and some bread. He came out of the field from hunting. He was hungry and he just wanted the temporary satisfaction. And Jacob, even though he was a crook, he had a heart for the things of God, for what was of greater value. And he says, okay, Esau, I'll give you some of my stew if you sell me your birthright. And he said, well, if I don't eat this bowl of soup, I'm going to die. Yeah, right. And so he says, okay, no problem. He ate and he got up and he walked out. He despised his birthright. What does that tell us? That tells us, folks, that sometimes as the people of God, we are compromising that which is eternal for temporary gratification. We just want to get it all here and now. Just make me feel good now. Come to church and make me feel good now. I've discovered something, that I have to feel bad before I can feel good. Oh, ouch. God makes you feel bad before you can feel good. The Bible is very clear about this. He says, I will tear and then I will build back. He's the potter and we're the clay. He has to take that marred piece of clay and he has to beat it down. He has to break it. And then he reforms it and he molds it into a vessel of honor that will contain his glory. You see, sometimes we're like an old wineskin that's dried up. Amen. And we just like being in our comfort zone and in that place we've always been. And we don't want God to mess with our life. But God wants to pour into us the new wine. He wants us to give us the fresh anointing. Amen. So sometimes He has to break down what we have established, the idols in our own hearts, the false gods in our own minds, the way God is. Well, to me, God's like this. God is like He says in His Word. And you need to look at the full counsel of God. Not just this because I like that, but I don't like that. Are you hearing me? Because as soon as we start picking and choosing, we start becoming idolatrous. Because then we form a God to please us. And we don't like the God that tears and then builds back up. We don't like the cross. We don't want to have to deny ourselves. But the way of life is the way of cross. Amen? The way of denial of self, of dying to myself that I might live in Him and that I might gain Him. Paul said, all that I had done in my past is all dung, it's all junk compared to what God is calling me to. And he said, fixed his eyes upon the prize, Jesus Christ. He says, I'm here to live for Him. Oh yeah, I know we want to distinguish. I don't believe, folks, for a minute that Jesus and the devil are boxing in a match. Amen. That they're in a ring boxing it out. And everything bad is the devil. Everything is good is Jesus. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe God is in control of everything. Amen. How many know that God allowed Israel to suffer? Oh yeah. It's in the Word. Why? Because He knew that if He had not allowed the difficulties or the tearing or the breaking down of some things in their life and in their society, they would never repent. And if they didn't repent, He could not bless them the way He wanted to. Come on, say amen, somebody. I hope it's clear now. So we don't want to be like Esau, right? Jeremiah 17:5 says this. Is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those, extremely happy are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Do you see the parallel here? Amen. If we will seek the Lord, amen, put Him first in everything, amen, and not live for temporary satisfaction, that God will refresh you. You'll be like that well-watered tree that will never cease to yield fruit, even in the year of drought. It says they will still continue to bear fruit. Why? Because they are grounded in Christ. Their roots go deep into the Lord. Amen? Amen. Psalm 63 and 1, Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He says, O God, You are my God, early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. Do you hear that? His loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. See, David found the Lord to be his greatest treasure. Soul leanness comes to the man or woman who stops seeking God. Has anybody discovered that? It's vitally important, folks, I'm going to finish with this, that we continue to daily to build our spiritual life. That we devote ourselves daily to seek the Lord, to personal prayer, to personal worship, to studying of His Word, to listen and to obey His voice, and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we wait patiently for our Lord's return. Without this spiritual diligence towards the Lord, we will end up spiritually barren. And we don't want to crash, amen? We want to grow, blossom, bear fruit, glorify our Father. And if we abide in Him and continue to encourage one another daily, amen? If you see somebody missing today, help me out, give them a call. Say, hey, we missed you today. You doing all right? Can we pray with you? We need to come together as often as we can, right? Encourage one another, pray for one another, build one another up. Understanding that there are many distractions. I'm going to finish with this. And there are many, you know, alternatives that the enemy's given us to take us away from the will of God. And how many have discovered that our lives are very quickly going by? Our days are going by quickly. Let us redeem the time. Let's make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. We have opportunity. We have light. Amen. Let's do the will of God that's concerning us. Amen? Let's give ourselves over to that. Wednesday night, I hope to see you there. Let's get out there for Jesus. Amen? Pray up. Come in. Amen. Be filled up. Prayed up. Come down there and say, God, how can I help? Come on, we'll put you to work doing something. You can pray for people. You can witness to people. Amen. You can walk the grounds and pray. Cast the devil out. Whatever, you know. But come on down and support what we're doing in our city, because we want to take the light, amen, right into the heart of this place, because we're going to light up this city for Jesus. We're going to light up the night in Jesus' name.